Matthew chapter number 13, a very familiar story or a parable in the Bible that most of you, if you've been in church any length of time at all, you've heard this particular parable preached on. And I just couldn't get it off my mind this week, especially during the revival and the things that took place this past Wednesday night. Listen, if you wasn't here, if you didn't avail yourself to the revival that we had, you missed a blessing, I promise you. And it was good, it was wonderful, and I appreciate your faithfulness in being here. Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. But let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And a very familiar story, everybody, just about, if you've been in church any length of time, has heard a message or a sermon preached on the wheat and the tares. The message or the parable is very simple. You say, preacher, what is it, a parable? A parable is an earthly story or an illustration that's got some heavenly meaning to it. So Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, he was trying to reveal some truth to them and conceal truth from others, and he would tell them in these particular illustrations to convey some truth. And then we find in Matthew 13, there's probably seven or eight parables in Matthew 13, and he goes through all of these parables, and Jesus goes through about four different parables, and then all of a sudden, the disciples said, hey, I want you to go back to that one about them tares. I want you to talk about that one. I want you to tell us about that one in a little more detail. And that's what the Lord did. This is my question here for you today. Will everybody in church this morning go to heaven? Will every member of Holy Hills Baptist Church make it? Will they make it? I would love to think that if the rapture of the church took place right now and the Lord was just to take the roof and just span it back and all of the saved would go on to heaven at the rapture, the catching away of the church, I wonder if the building would be totally empty. I would hope and pray that this whole building would be totally empty. But according to this parable, that wouldn't be true. Because according to this parable, there are people sitting right here this morning that I'm preaching to wheat and I am preaching this morning to tares. I'm preaching to people that think they're saved and they're not saved. I'm preaching to people that claim to be saved, had an early experience, maybe repeated a prayer to somebody, maybe shook the preacher's hand, maybe signed a card, maybe confessed your sins to the Pope, or maybe prayed to Mother Teresa, or you did something crazy like that. But can I say this morning, if you have not had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and ask Him to come in your heart and save you. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not turn over a new leaf. I'm not talking about quit drinking, quit smoking, quit running around. I ain't talking about all that. I'm talking about getting saved by God's marvelous grace. Everybody that goes to church ain't going to heaven. Everybody that don't cuss ain't going to heaven. Everybody that don't drink ain't going to heaven. So everybody's got this misconception. Well, I go to church. I go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I teach Sunday school. I take up the offering. I'm a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a preacher. I'm a social pastor. I play the music. I sing specials. Everybody's got this misconception in their mind that if they do some good deed, they're going to heaven when they die. But this particular parable says that's not necessarily true. And the parable goes something like this. There was a farmer, and he takes the seed, and he sows good seed. He sows that wheat seed in the ground. And then while men slept, they go to bed, and in the middle of the night, the enemy comes and sows tares. You say, preacher, what's tare? A tare looks just like a wheat while it's growing up. And it's a poisonous plant that if you were to eat that particular tare, it would cause nausea, it would cause a dizziness, and sometimes if you ate too much of it, it would cause death. But at the time that it's growing together, both the wheat and the tares look just alike. They look just alike. They smell alike. Amen. They go to church together. They go to the same Sunday school class together. Amen. They listen to the same music together. They shout at the same places together. But one's a wheat and the other is a tare. And Jesus is trying to give us these truths here this morning. And the disciples, they didn't ask about the mustard seed. They didn't ask about the leaven, the woman cooking leaven in the kitchen. They didn't ask about the all these different things. They said, hey, go back to that wheat and tares. Say, preacher, why'd they ask? Because there was something in that story that got them pricked in their heart and said, hey, I need to double check on some things. I need you to go back to that story and tell us a little bit more about that story. So this is what Jesus does. Now I want you to look real quick. Look real quick at verse number 36. Same chapter, Matthew 13. Watch this very quickly. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Hey, I want you to get back to that wheat and tare thing. I want to know a little bit more about that. Now watch. Watch this one. Hey, how many of y'all think the Bible is hard to understand? Well, it's not. Before you raise your hand, it ain't hard to understand. Watch this one. This is how easy the Lord puts it. Watch. He answered and said unto them, he sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Hey, who sows the good seed? His name is Jesus. All right. Verse number 38. The field is the world. Is that plain? The good seed, hey, that's the wheat. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Hey, that's the saved people. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Hey, that's the unsaved people. Is everybody on the same page? I mean, we hadn't had to call Hebrew and Greek none yet. Verse 39, the enemy that sold them, I wonder who the enemy would be. I wonder who would want you to prevent you from hearing the message this morning. I want to know, I wonder who tried to keep you from coming to church this morning. I wonder who it was that's trying to distract you this morning. I wonder who it was that wanted to keep you from coming to the house of God this morning. I wonder who it was. The enemy that sold them is the devil. Can I say this? The devil has no good interest about you whatsoever. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to see you die and go to hell. Now, you won't hear that in a lot of churches around here, but at least you hear it at Holy Hills Baptist Church. If you don't get saved, you're going to a place called hell. And we're not proud of it. We don't want you to go. But you will go if you don't trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Say, I'm a member of so-and-so church. That makes no difference to God. Well, I'm a member of so-and-so. I mean, I'm the first church. Well, that really don't make a difference to God. I mean, we got a good preacher in our place. Well, that don't make no difference either. I mean, I'm just keeping them from getting a good one over here. I mean, that's not a good place to say amen, whoever said amen. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest, watch, the harvest is the end of the world. Hey, that's the end when the Lord comes. And the reapers are the angels. Hey, that's who's going to do the work. That's who's going to come in and start cutting the wheat out and cutting the tares out and separating the sheep and the goats. Hey, that's pretty simple. Jesus said, now that's what it means right there in the Bible. Hey, that's what it means. Now, here, 3 points and we're going to be through this morning. Now, I want to show you 3 different things. All I want to do this morning is do what the Apostle Paul tried to get the church at Corinth to do, and that was examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourself. I can't, everybody in the building this morning looks saved to me. You all look like you're going to heaven to me. Let me take my glasses off. Y'all look better. All of you look like you're going to heaven. But guess what? A crowd, 280 people. I mean, just statistics would tell you that probably not everybody in here is going to heaven when they die. I hope they are. I wish they were. When the Lord comes, I hope the whole building is empty. But just this parable alone tells us that that's probably not true. There's probably going to be somebody left here behind. When the reapers come and takes away the wheat, there's going to be some tares still sitting around here. That's just what the Bible says. I mean, that is just plain as the nose on your face, but there's 3 points I want to bring to you, and then we'll be through. It's the sowing. Amen. The sowing, the growing, and the mowing. There's a sowing. There's a growing. And then there's coming a day when God's going to do some mowing. Amen. Well, anyway, that's plain and simple. I don't have all that alliterated stuff, and that's just all I can come up with. But now the sowing, there's two things that got sowed real quick. Number one, the wheat got sowed. Jesus is the farmer. Jesus is the one putting the good seed. And the wheat that comes up is the saved people, the believers. Hey, do you know what? Christian people have some similarities to wheat. You know what they are? They've got some things in common, or you should have some things in common with wheat. You know what they are? Number one, wheat doesn't have a deep root system. For it to be its size, to grow as high as it does, it don't grow down in the earth very, very deep. And it's easily to be plucked up out of the ground. It's very easy. It's right on there on top. You just reach down and you put up wheat just real easy. Say, preacher, what is a Christian supposed to have similarities with that for? Because this wheat is not deep-rooted in the world. This wheat is more up than it is down. This wheat has its affection set on things above and not on things of this earth. This wheat has no, just barely little, that's the improper English, but hey, you got it. Barely little. Little hole to the world. I mean, just very quickly, you can just pick up the wheat, really, because it's attached to the world just by minimal. A lot of Christians are attached to the world real deep. I mean, they're attached to the world real deep. I'm talking about, hey, look, a lot of people got a lot of care. They got two cars in the garage, they got a house, I mean, they got all this kind of stuff. But can I say this? When the rapture comes and the Lord comes to get you, if you're saved, if you're lost, it don't make any difference. You ain't taking none of that stuff with you. So you might as well not get too attached around here. Because you can't take it with you. I have never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse nowhere. You ain't going to take it with you, so you might as well not get attached. You say, preacher, I've got to work in this world. I know you do. I've got friends in this world. I know you do. But you ought to be telling your friends to go to heaven with you when they die. A lot of people, a lot of Christians are so attached to the world, man. You can't bear it. You just bear it. You just pull and you can't do. I mean, you can't even root them up none. Back when I was backslid on God, I was living in Jackson, Tennessee, and I went and I struggled to take the test of the U.S. Marshals, and I took the U.S. Marshal test and all this kind of stuff, and they called me in and said, I want to talk to you, and they asked me and my wife, I got three kids, and they said, hey, before you go any further, let me tell you something that a lot of people don't think about. Said, these U.S. Marshals we call you at the drop of a hat, and we'll tell you to be packed up in 2 weeks and move to Arizona somewhere. You get to Arizona, you stay there 3 or 6 months or whatever, and then we'll call you and we'll move you somewhere else to New York or something. Lord help. Chicago or something. They need a bunch of U.S. Marshals up there. You know what he's telling me? He was saying, hey, this is what he said. Don't get too attached to where you're at. Why? Because just any moment we could uproot you. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Just any moment the Lord could come and uproot us out of this world and you're not taking nothing with you. You've got to be ready to go at a twinkling of an eye. At a moment of twinkling of an eye, the Lord could come and we're getting out of here. Hey, wheat ought to have those kind of similarities with Christians, or Christians ought to have that kind of similarities with wheat. Wheat doesn't last very long. Wheat don't last very long. I mean, it grows, it produces fruit. I mean, you harvest it, hey, plant some more and here's some more gums. I don't know how long we got. I have no idea. I don't know if I'll preach another message tonight. I have no idea. I don't know if we'll be here next Sunday or night. I don't know. Wheat don't last long. It just grows, it produces fruit. They cut it down, they take it off, they do something else with it, and some more comes up. I mean, we plant a lot. Hey, we bury a lot of Christians. I mean, we pass off the scene, some more get saved. Some got saved Wednesday night. And I'm talking about they just replacing the ones that just left. Say, preacher, how long I got? I have no idea how long you got. But I'm just telling you, this life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's what the Bible says. Till God is through with you, not a hair of your head will be touched. And after God's done with you, there's not an anchor strong enough in this world to keep you down. Amen. Well, that's what the wheat is. One day, you're gonna make the bed for the last time. One day, you're going to brush your teeth for the last time. One day, you're going to take a shower for the last time. One day, I'll preach my last message for the last time. One day, you're going to walk into a church building for the last time. Because the wheat's not going to stay forever. It's going to come and it's going to go. Wheat grows upward and dies downward. Wheat grows upward, dies downward. The fruit is on the top. As it dies on the bottom, it gets life on the top. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Can I say this? I got to move on. I got to hurry. But watch this one. As the wheat's got a head. It's got that head, the shoot there, the shoot. And the more that it produces fruit, watch this. Watch this. The more fruit it produces, watch. This is what wheat does. You ever seen wheat do that in the field? And just the more fruit it gets on, man, it just sort of lays down. Hey, you say, preacher, man, I'm doing good. I'm producing fruit. I'm doing this. Well, if you're doing that, you ought to be doing this. Producing fruit's not doing this. Producing fruit's doing this. Producing fruit makes humility, produces humility. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. If I'm anything for God, if I'm producing fruit, anything for God, it's all to Him. It's nothing to me. I just... Amen. Well, that went over real good, man. Number two, the sowing of the wheat. But number two, the sowing of the weeds. They were sowing some weeds, too. The enemy came by night and sowed these tares among the wheat. The children of the wicked. Hey, can I straighten this all out on something? Not that I've apprehended, but watch this. We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. We're not all God's children. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you this. There's a word in Hebrews chapter number 12, in verse number 8, that a lot of people use to describe someone in the physical sense that doesn't have a dad. My friend, I don't know of any child born in this earth that didn't have a dad, didn't have a father involved in the process. Anybody got it? And I can tell you this in a spiritual sense, if you do not get saved by God's marvelous grace, you will not have a heavenly Father, and you will be that Word. Amen. We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. But my friend, if you want to become His child, you get saved by God's marvelous grace, and you will be. Now there's the sowing, but then there's the growing. I got to hurry. Watch this. The growing. Say, preacher, what's the growing? Hey, they said, hey, you want us to go out there? Hey, master, you want us to go out there and cut the tire? That said, no, don't do that, don't do that. Because you might, hey, they look so much alike, you might mistakenly get some wheat. So just leave them alone, let them grow together. Hey, guess what? They come to church together. What do? We don't try to pinpoint and say, hey, you're a tire. Get, you're a tire. Uh-uh. We just let you, come on. Everybody in here, lost and saved, we want them all in here. We want wheat and tares in here. Why? Because you can get some wheat. You can take that tare. Hey, you can become wheat this morning. All grow together. All go to the same Sunday school class together. All go to the same functions together. We're all going to go back there. Well, I don't know how many are going to stay, but I know it's for the kids. But we're going to watch them do that. And we're all going to do this together. My friend, that don't mean everybody's going to heaven. Let them grow together. They look saved. They act saved. My friend, they talk saved. Amen. The growing together. Hey, can you watch this? How many has ever had a flu shot? How many ever have a flu shot? Have a flu shot. Watch. Did you know what the doctor does when you get a flu shot? He gives you the flu virus, but it's a dead flu virus, to keep you from getting the real one. Watch. There's some people in the room right now that has been injected with dead Orthodox religion. The devil has give you a syringe and give you a dead Orthodox religion to keep you from getting the real thing. And as long as he can make you think that you're okay, hey, the devil don't mind you teaching Sunday school. The devil don't mind you coming to church. As long as you don't get saved, he don't mind you coming to church. He don't mind you saying amen every now and then. He don't mind you singing a special every now and then. Hey, amen. He don't mind you doing right every now and then. As long as you'll just keep on that path, my friend, He's got you deceived into thinking that you'll be all right when you go. God says there's wheat and there's tares. They're growing. They're growing together. They're fakes. They're phonies. But eventually the true colors will come out. Satan is in the business of sowing tares among the Lord's wheat. He mixes enough goats in among the sheep, and he can disrupt harmony and blessedness of the church. My friend, any time you have church trouble, any time you have a mess going on down at the house of God, if you'll wait long enough, there's a lost person in the mix somewhere. Because a lost person can only act saved for so long, and then their true colors will come out. That ought to be helping somebody. Hey, I mean, you can only act saved for so long. Hey, you only act saved for so long, and then all of a sudden, when something happens, your true colors will come out. Man, what's on the inside will come out. And you'll be like, oh, I just showed what I really was. The growing together, the sowing together, the growing together. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to put enough goats in here that the sheep, amen, they can mingle that and cause division and cause destruction and disrupt the harmony of the church. Amen. Say, preacher, when people come down to join the church, you know what we ask them? Hey, when did you get saved? Hey, before you join this church, we want to know if you're a member of that church. Amen. I mean, that's what we say. We say, I want to join the church. Well, hey, tell me when you got saved. Does it always work? I mean, sometimes they'll say, yeah, I got saved, such and such. We take that. All you can do is just take them at the word, and they get on the membership roll, but they're still lost as a goose. I mean, lost as a goose in high weeds. I'm telling you. And we ask for a testimony. Hey, Billy Graham said this. Don't make any difference what you think about him. He sure did preach to a lot of people. In his early years, hey, man, it's pretty straight back then. Billy Graham said his greatest mission field was the role, the church role of churches. He said 70% of the people that came down when he sung Just As I Am without one plea, 70% of them people that come out of them stadium was church members. Church members, they're tares among the wheat. I've seen my sister playing the piano at the church, playing the piano when I don't remember how old it was, playing the piano. Had she realized during the invitation it was playing, I don't even remember that song. I got it on top of my head, but it don't make a difference. In the invitation, they were playing that song, and she got up off that piano. She came and asked my dad. She said, got saved by God's grace. She said, I thought I was saved. I came down with a bunch of other kids, and I preached the prayer just like everybody else did. And I shook the preacher's hand. I signed a card. But I have been lost all this time. I've never been saved. My brother just here recently, my older brother, came down and called my dad and said, hey, all these many years I follow it and I'm not saved. Brother Ray, back there, Brother Ray, came down Wednesday night. He was sitting right over here. He come down, I mean, bawling, squalling and weeping and crying out. He said, I thought I was saved. Realize tonight I'm not saved. I was a tare, but I want to become a wheat. My friend, there's churches full of them. There's full of them everywhere we look. They're full of them. They're full of them. Hey, swallow your pride and search your heart this morning to find out if you're saved. There's the sowing. Amen. There's the growing. Hey, watch this. Number three. There's a mowing. There's a mowing day coming. The tares. You would say, preacher, what they do? What they do with these tares? What they do with them? Well, I can tell you this. This is what they did to them. Angels came down, or this is what was the Bible. He said, this is what happened. He said, the angels come down, they're going to gather the wheat. They're going to put it in the barn. And then what's left, see, the only way you can tell the difference in the wheat and the tares is when it starts producing fruit. Only time you, now when it's early, when it's growing up real early, yeah, you can't tell no difference. I mean, a fake plant looks just like a real one. I mean, Judas looks just like any other disciple. You know, I mean, he just looks like anybody else. I mean, a fake plant, I mean, that looks real to me. You come up here, look at it. It may be, I don't know. But I mean, that thing looks, I mean, you know, look at it. Hey, you can feel it. It ain't got no life to it at all. You ain't got to water that thing. That's why we get them. You have to water them. We have to water them. Why? Because we don't feel like watering them. Man, you know, we just get them fake ones. Why? They look just like the real ones. Except we don't have to feed it. Hey, you might be in here looking like that. Whoa, I'm telling you what, that's a good fella right there. Hey, that's a good woman right there. Look, that's a good. Hey, lost is a goose. You go up and smell of them, they smell just like a goat. Say, preacher, where'd they come from? I have no idea. I got two illustrations backed up. The sheep and the goat, you understand? Hey, but I mean, you look real like that, and look, it looks real. If you get real close enough, you can say, hey, that thing. Hey, you get close to a person, you'll know if it's saved or not. You get close to a person, you'll know if they're wheat or tare or not. But look here, there's a mowing day coming. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, the Lord's coming, and when He comes, He's going to dispatch His angels. They're coming, and it's called, listen, I understand doctrinally speaking, we'll talk about that some other time. I did a whole series on the parables. We did all the doctrinal application. We're doing spiritual application this morning. I understand. We're talking about the rapture church this morning, all right? Help me. And He's coming, and He's going to take the wheat out of the, and He's going to put you in the barn. Hallelujah. We're going to the barn. We're going to the barn. Say, preacher, what about the tares? You're going to be burned up with the chaff. Hey, preacher, what's that mean? You're going to hell. You're going to a place called hell. Say, preacher, you've got. I'm not the preacher that preaches on hell. And when you leave, you think the preacher that was preaching was glad you was going. We're not glad you're going. We don't want you to go to hell. We want you to go to heaven when you die. But if you're trusting your church membership, you ain't going. If you're trusting your baptism, you ain't going. If you're trusting you shook a preacher's hand, you ain't going. If you're trusting you signed a card somewhere, you ain't going. If you repeated a prayer at Vacation Bible School and you just did it because every other kid did it and 40 of them came down at the same time and they all repeated the same prayer, you ain't going. You came down when you was an infant and they brought you, mom and daddy brought you up here and some fella sprinkled a little water on your head and you think that's going to get you. You ain't going. Say, preacher, what's it going to take to go? Hey, I'm 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says this, "But the Lord saith unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused it. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearances, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I've heard preachers at the end of the service make everybody repeat the prayer. Everybody gets saved every Sunday. Everybody. He tells them. He tells them. You've probably seen him. I watch him every now and then, just, you know, whatever. Everybody stands. Everybody stands. All right, repeat this prayer to me. Everybody gets saved every Sunday. Can I say something? Unless you've been under conviction, praying a prayer don't save you. Praying a prayer just don't save you. That's a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. You know, there's a lot of people going to die and go to hell by 18 inches. They got it up here, but 18 inches from there, they ain't got it here. They got it here, man. They can lead people to the Lord. They can teach Sunday school. They come to church. They can play the instruments. They can do this. They can do that. They can do a little popcorn preaching every now and then. But what's up here ain't down here. And you'll know the difference. When the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you get real nervous, real fidgety. I mean, people's getting up, going to the bathroom, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Why? Because they can't stand preaching. They get all nervous and stuff. It just comes in and out, in and out. I got to get away from this. I got to get away from this. I'm in conviction. The Lord's dealing with my heart. I'm just pounding my chest. I got to do something about this. I feel uncomfortable in here. Hey, I feel uncomfortable in here. There's something. If you'll just hush, hush, they'll get the song over with. We can go eat a hot dog and dunk a preacher in the thing. And we can go home and get over this. I got to get up. I can just get home. I can get it off my mind. My friend, when you get home, God will be there waiting on you. If I can just get to work in the morning, I'll be everything. All right, you get to work in the morning, God will be there with you in the morning. You'll be thinking about this message, wheat and tares, wheat and tares. Oh, I wish I'd get off my mind. I wish I'd get off my mind. Preacher, I've never been saved. Well, you need to be saved today. I'm a church member. It makes no difference. You ought to be saved today. Say, preacher, my mama bought the first three rolls. And hey, you ought to be saved today. Well, my grandma has got her little name under that little, at that church we grew up in, a little name plate under that little stained glass window. And man, that's just so beautiful. And I'm talking about she bought that window and they dedicated that window to her. And they've dedicated the other one to my grandpa and Aunt Susie. And they dedicated this other one. And you're depending on those stained glass window to get you to heaven? My friend, only Jesus Christ can say. A stained glass window ain't never saved nobody. Amen. There ain't but one thing's ever saved somebody, and that's Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And guess what? He just didn't die. He got up on that third appointed day. And he's seated right now in the right hand of God the Father, interceded for me and for you. Say, preacher, if I got time to get saved, you sure do. Say, preacher, how you know I got time? You know why I know? Because the harvest hadn't come yet. We're still growing together. In this room, wheat and tares. All growing together. Some of you probably be back. Hopefully we'll have next Sunday to be together. You'll grow together. Some of you come back. Some of you may be under conviction. You won't come back for a couple Sundays. Maybe you think that'll help and it'll get the pressure off of you. Hey, I know some Christian folks that say, I believe they got saved. I honestly believe they got saved. But they're acting like a bunch of tares. They're living like a bunch of tares. Amen. They're just living like a bunch of tares. Ain't producing fruit, that wheat ain't doing nothing, they ain't growing. Why? They don't come enough to grow. Amen. Say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. You better find out today. Find out today. Say, preacher, why are you telling? Listen, I'm telling you, it's important. It's important. It's important to find out if you're saved going to heaven. It's what this church wants to be about. I don't know what the other church is doing. It ain't my business what they're doing. It's my business to know what this one's doing. And this one is concerned about your soul dying and going to hell. That's why we preach like we preach. That's why we holler like we holler. Because we want to tell you, Jesus died for you. He'll save you if you'll trust on Him and trust in Him. So, preacher, what have we got to do? Well, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. That means, you know what that means? That means the Pope ain't good enough. That means Mother Teresa ain't good enough. That means anybody else you know ain't good enough. There's none righteous, no, not one. You know what it says? It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? That means I've sinned, you've sinned, everybody in here sinned, everybody you know has sinned. Amen. Everybody in here sinned, everybody you know has sinned, your boss has sinned, your mama sinned, your daddy sinned, your grandpa sinned. Say, preacher, what are we going to do? It sounds like we're in a mess. Well, you have to read Romans 5:8. This is what it says. But God commended, demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now you've got to realize you're lost. You've got to realize you're a sinner. You've got to realize that. And then number two, you've got to realize you can't save yourself. All of us is sin. You can't get to heaven on your own. You sure can't get there on your own goodness. So if you can't get there on your own goodness and all of us are bound for hell, what do we got to do? We got to trust somebody that is good enough to get us there. We got to trust somebody that wasn't a sinner when He came. And there's only one person ever done that, as Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Two kinds of people in the room today, wheat and tares. The harvest is coming. Make sure. Examine yourself this morning. Would you please examine yourself this morning? Say, preacher, you trying to make me doubt my salvation? Huh, I ain't trying to make you doubt. Look, if you're saved, I can't make you doubt it. If you're saved and you got the assurance of salvation, hey, there ain't nothing I can do to make you doubt it. But if you're doubting it, check up and make sure you're saved. Make sure you're not trusting in some little prayer you repeated. Make sure you're just not trusting in a card you signed. Little card you filled out and give the preacher. Just make sure you stop just something you came down and followed a bunch of young people and they just massively just came down. You just did what everybody else did because you didn't want to be the only one sitting back there in the seat by yourself and you just came on down with them. Hey, make sure that wasn't you. Say, preacher, why is it so important? Hey, heaven and hell depends on it. Heaven and hell, we just talking about heaven and hell. Say, preacher, is that important? Yeah, it sure is important. It will be when you take your last breath that's real important to you. Wheat and tares. What are you, Heavenly Father?